Hi, I'm Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Connecting Faith. You can hear the show live each weekday at noon Central Time, and there are many more podcasts for this and all our Faith Radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thanks for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Life.
Hello, welcome once again to Connecting Faith. I'm Neil Stavem. Glad to have you listening in today. Hope you've had a great week. Ryan Thomas is sitting in for Ted here today on the controls, and Carissa's at the phone. So we had a little time yesterday hanging out with Joe Rathmanner, who was host every Friday on Connecting Faith. So, a nice time.
Unmitigated jubilation, in fact.
We were outside on a porch.
It was lovely.
Yes, and this time of year, that's always a positive. I've thought as a result of rereading my guest's book today, I have thought of a way to update the Lord's Prayer.
Okay. Well,
just one line in it.
Okay.
So, you know, it's... Give us our day, our daily bread, and then
yes,
it says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us.
But right.
In light of what Jody has written about, I thought we could put it this way, forgive us our chaos as we forgive those who chaos against us. Because Jody Watson, talks a lot about how we manage the chaos and kind of why there is chaos and why God cares about there not being chaos.
Okay.
And we're going to find out more about that again. Welcome back, Jody Watson. Jody has written a wonderful book called Purge with Passion, Organizing Principles from a Christian Perspective. We had Jody on a number of months ago, and just wanted to have her back. Had great discussion. She's founder and president of Supreme Organization, and again, author of the book Purge with Passion, and has... appeared regularly on TV shows like Lifetime's The Balancing Act and Better TV, NBC's Weekend Today and Extra, TLC's The Real Simple Real Life Show, and been in publications such as Real Simple and In Style, and also written a monthly column for Los Angeles Parent Magazine. A lot of those things, and is a member of the National Association of Professional Organizers.
That's a thing.
It is, yeah, which, well, NAPO to you.
Oh, NAPO.
Anyway, and we're happy to have Jody back with us. Jody, welcome back to Connecting Faith.
Oh, hi, Neil. Thank you so much. It's really great to be back.
We're going to spend a little time talking about organizing principles, and there'll be some practical tips here too. But there's a lot more to it that we want to get to. And in fact, I was thinking as I was looking at your book again. And by the way, we have three copies to give away. So encourage our listening family, you're interested in this whole area or know someone who you'd like to be interested in this area, maybe, you can give us a call and we'll put you in a drawing for the book, books, 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. You know, a lot of organizing specialists, I guess if you'd call it that, they talk about the benefits of getting organized, Jody. You know, you live freer, healthier, happier, but you go beyond those concepts. So let's talk about the ultimate reason behind benefits of getting organized.
Yeah, you know, I think when we think about having our lives in order and being organized, what generally comes to mind is, you know, the pictures that you see in the magazines of the before and the after, or maybe Pinterest boards where there's like beautifully organized closets and kitchens. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with this. It's great. That's what I do. And it definitely has a place in our lives to strive for better organization. But the thing is that it's usually that is seen as the end goal. The whole point of bringing order is so that we can end up with spaces that look like that and function that way. So, you know, I thought, what if we started thinking about it and looking at it from a different perspective? What does God think maybe about order? And what does having things in order look like to the God that created the universe? you know, in the midst of this incredible universe that God actually created, he put a world for us to live in. And that world that he created was in perfect order when he created it. And it was good. Life was perfect. We were in right relationship with God. We were in right relationship with other people. And we had productive and meaningful work. And yet, when I look at our world today, it certainly doesn't look like that anymore. So we have come a long way from the perfect world that God originally created. And the problem is that we actually messed that order up when we disobeyed him, when we chose to step out of his will and go our own way and start living lives for ourselves instead of for him. And consequently, the world that he had created to be in perfect order was plunged into disorder and chaos. And it's still full of chaos and disorder to this day because we continue to put ourselves and our wants and desires first and foremost over him. But thankfully, you know, he hasn't forsaken us. He has forgiven us. He hasn't forsaken us. And he has a plan to restore order to his world. Through Jesus's life and death and resurrection, God has given us an opportunity to become a new creation and to do things differently, to live as he originally intended us to live. So for those of us who are in Christ, instead of life being lived for ourselves, it's now about living for Jesus. And when we place Jesus at the center of our worlds and we commit to serving him, we become a part of God's plan to restore order. And so the decisions that we make about the way we live our lives, the importance of the stuff that we own and how we will use the resources that he's given us, everything then should line up with his way of doing things. So instead of asking, you know, what does order in my life look like to me, asking the question, what does God's order in my life look like to him?
What a great question. And I'm assuming that until we sort of ask some of those big questions, or maybe the why questions behind why we're trying to get organized, that we're not going to have maybe the passion to really accomplish and maintain it, right? If we don't have the right setting to begin with.
Exactly. I think that once we understand the biblical principles behind bringing order, and we're able to grasp those and apply them to bringing order to our life, then the whole process makes sense, and it falls into place. It becomes a lot easier to actually do at that point because we do understand why. We understand that it's a bigger picture than just our having our closet in order or our files, you know, alphabetically organized, structured. These things are important, but God has a bigger design, a much bigger purpose of order that we can't fully grasp. When you think of the universe, it's just, wow, I mean, it blows our minds. But we know that he has a plan for order. So striving to go for that order and bring that into our lives takes our attempts from bringing, you know, order out of the chaos being about wanting to make our lives run more smoothly and our homes more efficiently, and then puts our attempts on bringing order to being about lining up our entire lives in such a way that we're in the best position possible with all of our resources available to serve our King and his kingdom.
And we address that, or you address that well, in your book called Purge with Passion, Organizing Principles from a Christian Perspective. As I mentioned, we've got some copies to give away, and I'm going to invite you to call in and sign up for one of those. It'll be a great resource and help you maybe like no other organizing book will, because it's dealing with some of these important issues, asking questions about what God wants for us in terms of ordering our lives. 877-933-2484. I want to get Jody's perspective on how this developed in her life, because she experienced some periods of chaos as a young lady, and maybe we'll take a break first, Ryan. Let's take a break now, and we'll come back and give Jody a chance to tell her story, because it's an important part of understanding why we want to organize our life from a Christian perspective, and we'll get her insight on that. Again, Jody Watson is with us today, and Jody is the author of Purge with Passion, the subtitle Organizing Principles from a Christian Perspective. She's founder and president of Supreme Organization, and we'll give you some details about how you can find out about her writing and speaking and all those things coming up in a moment. But we'll continue with Jody Watson in a moment here on Connecting Faith. Well, it's quarter past the hour on this Thursday installment of Connecting Faith, and talking today with Jody Watson, who's founder and president of Supreme Organization. And she's written a wonderful book called Purge with Passion, Organizing Principles from a Christian Perspective. A reminder that God cares about your clutter, and we all have it. And we want to find out why it should matter if our lives are disorganized. And we've been just sort of laying out some of the important principles behind the principles that we'll get to about some specifics. But Jody, I'm interested to hear a bit about your personal journey, because we've used the word chaos a few times. You had some periods of chaos. So talk about your encounter with the end of chaos, or at least the Prince of Peace anyway.
Yeah, you know, I think sometimes people look at me and think that because I'm a professional organizer, you know, I must have it all together. But we all have stuff that we need to work on, and different areas of our lives that constantly need to be brought into alignment with God. I wasn't raised in a Christian home at all. I mean, far from it. And I began walking with the Lord about 13 years ago. But I grew up in I was conceived in this is how I like to put it. It sounds a bit strong, but it's the way it is. Is I was conceived in sin, I was raised in sin, and then consequently, when I went out into the world, I led a very sinful life. I didn't know the Lord, and I didn't have any other sort of barometer by which to go for other than what I had learned growing up. And because I've always been naturally organized, you know, my home and my life would appear to be in order and look perfectly fine from the outside. But that doesn't really matter. If, you know, our homes can be perfectly well organized by the world standards, but if our hearts are not pursuing His idea of order, God's idea of order, then we're still in chaos. What's interesting to me is the journey that God needed to bring me on in writing this book and writing it in the way that He wanted it written. You know, I had felt very sure of myself and my level of expertise, if you like, that I was bringing to the table, and I thought I knew exactly how this book needed to be written. I was about, I guess a third of the way through writing it when a friend challenged me that, you know, if I was going to quote God, then I'd better be sure that I was quoting Him accurately. And she encouraged me to audit a class that she'd recently taken at Eternity Bible College. And so I did. And up to that point, I had been calling myself a Christian, calling myself a follower of Christ, and had even begun to write a book from a Christian perspective. And yet, I hadn't even read I hadn't even read the Bible all the way through. So here was the book that I was supposedly basing my life on at this point, and I hadn't even read it. So God started to convict my heart, like, right there. You know, the first class that I took at Eternity really rocked my world, and it was a little shocking to me at the time that, you know, as I studied Bible study methods, I realized just how far I was missing the mark, even though I had been walking with the Lord for about 8-9 years at that point. And I knew, week by week was going on. I'm like, I am going to have to completely scrap everything that I've written up to this point and start over. And I literally had to tear that house down, lay new foundations, and begin building from the ground up. I'd been misquoting scripture and bending it to fit my own personal topic and to make my point. You know, for instance, you know, the scripture was like, God is a God of order. At that time I'd be like, see, there it is. God is a God of order, so we have to have our houses in shape. And that's just not what He's talking about right there. He is a God of order, but that's not the right application at that point for that. So in other words, anyway, it really wasn't about God, but it was more about my own interpretations of his word that were, frankly, at that point, based on very limited knowledge of scripture. So what happened was a real 360-degree shift in me as I studied through this class. And instead of it being about me and my idea of organizing and trying to fit God into that, it became about God, and it starts with God. And then what does his word actually say on this subject? And then bringing everything into alignment with that, and in the process being changed and being transformed in how I see God and how I approach life in every area and look at every situation. It really is about connecting faith to life, and I know that's the name of this show, is Connecting Faith, but that's what it is, and how does that look in our everyday lives and how we order our world?
Jody, as you went through that, Eternity Bible College, it's what Francis Chan was started that, right? Is he your
he
pastor?
He's the founder.
He is the founder, yes. So,
yeah.
And we may talk a little bit more about that through those courses as well. But I'm interested in, as you said, trying to fit God into sort of our plans and purposes, which we're always so good at anyway. I'm wondering what was maybe the most revealing or the most maybe all life-altering as you really started looking at this, say, I got to step back and see a bigger picture. Was there one or two things that you, when you were sort of scrapping it and building that new foundation that, hit you the hardest?
Yeah, I think for the most part is that I really didn't know how to read the Bible for myself. I had been going to church and listening to what my pastor had to say and reading scriptures here or there, maybe the odd book, the Book of Ruth, maybe a bit about David. I mean, I'd read some stuff, but I didn't really know how to read and interpret the Bible for myself. And so just going in and thinking I knew from what was written that I could understand that and I had the right interpretation, and I did. I would just assume that I did. I was like, oh, this is what it means. And then taking the class and actually studying how to study the Bible and seeing the work that it takes to put things in their historical context, to put things in their literary context, and to really see what is going on and the grammar and how important grammar is to understanding the Bible. I mean, all of these things, I'm like, yes, it's incredibly hard to grasp God's word. That was actually one of the books we had as our course, was Grasping God's Word. And I can see why so many of us don't put the work into it, but we cannot do that. We cannot afford to do that. We have to put the work into it because this is the book that God has left for us to guide us and to reveal to us who he is. And if we don't really put the time into going in and really, really trying to draw that meaning out of his scripture, then we're not going to know him well, and we're not going to represent him well in the world. And we're all called to ministry. It's not just pastors. It's not just all on pastors and to minister to the flock. We're all, as Christians, called to minister whatever we do in our lives. And so for us to rightly handle the word, and not mislead people and not misquote or misinterpret it, it's just such a matter of great importance that it's, and he's worth it, right? Yeah. I mean, really, he is. And it's amazing the things that I learned that I was doing wrong. Mm-hmm. And starting to being able to set that to rights has been great.
We're going to dig in more in the book Purge with Passion. The subtitle is Organizing Principles from a Christian Perspective, and getting Jody Watson's story a bit. Jody is the founder and president of Supreme Organization and author of this book. And Jody, maybe before we go any further, if people want to just find out more about your writings, or I know even that you've made some offers about taking an online class or something too, but what's the
sure.
best way to connect with you?
Yeah, I mean, I really wanted to make some classes available, that had impacted me so greatly, available to your listeners. And so you can go to purgewithpassion.com, and click on the Silo banner. Sign up to register for a free course. The Silo courses are very short, self-paced courses that they'll challenge your thinking, but they're not going to challenge your attention span or your schedule. And they really help you to better understand the Bible and how to apply it to your life, wherever you are, like whatever you're doing. And I'll also be doing a drawing of the first 25 people to register, so, and giving away another copy of my book to the lucky winner. So who doesn't get a copy from the three that you're giving away has another opportunity. But I really do recommend just trying it out and just seeing how it impacts you and maybe affects your walk with the Lord. And yeah, contact me, call me, text me, email me or through my website, social media, and just, let me know what it's doing. Because the thing is that at the end of the day, we're talking about organizing, we're talking about bringing order into our lives. And so knowing God and what God's plans are going to be fundamental to that.
PurgeWithPassion.com is the website, PurgeWithPassion.com. In your book, Purge with Passion, you deal with things like, purging your stuff, your finances, your time, your information. I want to start with sort of at the back of the book, because you talk about, until we clear the emotional clutter, sort of all these other aspects aren't really going to fall in place. Let's start with that. We'll have to take a break in the middle of it, but let's get started on that topic.
Right. It is the last chapter in the book, Purging Your Inner World. But it could be the first, because really our inner world is the place from which all of our chaos and mess really does originate. For the most part, most of us would rather not have to deal with the majority of our negative emotions or our painful or sinful experiences. It's no fun going in and digging around all of that stuff. But negative emotions that aren't dealt with will become, they'll just really affect us destructively. They become very toxic and start to infect every area of our lives. So purging our inner worlds is the process of allowing God to go where maybe we can't go, to expose and remove the very things that we're trying to hide and avoid and numb and bury. We're here to reveal the glory of our God to a fallen and broken world. So if we don't deal with our own brokenness and sin, then there's no way that we can really effectively carry out this mission. So that's really why it originates in the heart and then flows out from there. So that's why it's the last chapter, because it's the hardest. I mean, it's much more easier to go and purge your closet than purge your own, negative emotions that you may be carrying, or the anger and the hurt or the bitterness and all of that. So that's why it's kind of at the end. But it's a process that we do all the time. And all of us are in at some level of it somewhere. In every season of our life, hopefully.
Jody Watson talking with us today. You caught those words. She talked about hide, avoid, numb, and bury. And that is maybe kind of how we deal with our life in various stages of disorganization and chaos. And we'll talk more with Jody in a moment about, how do we deal with when chaos is sort of thrust upon us. And then we'll want to get into some of the practical, the hands-on tips about purging with passion. Organizing principles from a Christian perspective. We mentioned we got some copies to give away, but I'd love to have you join the conversation too. You have a question for Jody, maybe a specific area you'd like some help on in terms of organizing, give us a call, 877-933-2484. I'd love to connect with you here in the next couple of minutes. 877-933-2484. More in a moment. Probably describe a lot of our homes, right? Walking in the front door. When are we going to do something about all this pain? Stuff. God cares about your clutter. And we're talking about it today, referencing the book Purge with Passion, Organizing Principles from a Christian Perspective. Thankful to have Jody Watson back with us. She was with us here a few months back, and I just wanted to have her back so we talk more about organizing and finding life perspective and balance and bringing some order out of the chaos. Jody is founder and president of a Supreme Organization, and you can contact her at purgewithpassion.com. We do have some copies of the book to give away, and we invite you to join the conversation as well. If you have some organizing questions, or maybe you have someone in your life that doesn't seem to have caught the bug or the principles behind it, and you'd like some good advice, you're welcome to call us today at 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH. Or if it's easier to maybe just drop us a note, if you're near the Internet, you can just go to myfaithradio.com and then click on Connecting Faith. There's an email link right there, myfaithradio.com. Click on Connecting Faith. Send us a note. Let's talk with Jody Watson. So, Jody, we're talking just before the break, words like hide, avoid, numb, and bury. And I'm thinking, before we get into maybe some of the specifics, how do we deal with times when maybe chaos is thrust upon us? Whether it's maybe a new baby coming into the house or just any number of things. It seems like, sometimes the disorganization, I suppose most of the time it happens over time, but there are other times when suddenly things get sort of thrown out of whack. How do we get back on top?
Yeah, you're talking about like life transitions, like those times in life where, like you say, a baby comes, a new baby, or you get married, or somebody passes on and you're dealing with their stuff. Like all those big life transition moments always can really throw us into a state of chaos if we're not prepared and we're not careful, for sure. I think the key is to recognize that, there's only so much room for things. It's like a closet. You can fit so much in, and then when you try to add more, it's going to get cluttered. So when things like you're moving a new baby, and like, for instance, with a client recently, they were having a new baby, and it meant that the office in the house had to now be taken down so that they would have room for the baby. They didn't have room anymore for the office. Had they tried to keep the office and the baby on, then they're now going to get into a state of having too much going on. And I think that just being mindful of, like, what is the capacity of this space, and what is our own capacity, and what has to happen and function in this space? What are the priorities? Obviously, a new baby is like, it's a high priority. So you need to make space for them, and just looking around at what can go, what isn't maybe so important to have in the space right now in order to make space for the new thing. In this case, a baby, I didn't mean thing, but the new person.
Yes.
So, just really evaluating. And I think this is an ongoing thing really for ordering your life, is just constantly being evaluating where you're at, what's going on in your life right now, what are the top priorities, and then really sort of streamlining and making sure that things that aren't are sort of not taking up the space of the things that are.
I know you talked early on in the book about sort of creating a vision area, which I just sort of like the concept of that. Talk a little bit more about, how we can at least begin to see some change.
Yeah, the vision area started because, I'm always walking into chaos and mess. That's why I'm there. People have called me to help them with it. And people are overwhelmed, and it's very stressful, and they can't see the way through. I tend to be able to look at a space and be able to go, okay, it looks like this today, but I can see what it can look like, and I know how to get it there. But my clients weren't. In the very beginning, they're sort of there, and they can't see that. They don't have that vision of what it can be like yet. They don't see it. And so the vision area for me was just a way to sort of show them a little bit of that in a very small, manageable way, by clearing, taking, it could be an end table, it could be a countertop, a desk, whatever area was appropriate, but that was small and manageable, that we could actually organize there and then, like, not take too long about it, make it look beautiful, make it look the way they were striving for, to show them, like, yes, it can be like this. And then it serves different purposes. You know, it not only is a visionary that can give them hope, because it can be a long journey to get from chaos to order, but that they can also practice at keeping organized, because that's one of the things. You know, the reason things are usually chaos and mess, they haven't gotten there overnight. It's because of our habits and what we do have gotten us there. And so it's important to, in the process of, you know, moving from chaos to order, to learn new habits and learn new ways of doing things. If you keep doing things the way you always did, then that things are going to end up the way they always have. So practicing how to be organized is a really important part of the journey to order. And so that's another reason that the visionary is so great, because it actually provides that on a week-to-week basis, you know, and then growing out from there, obviously. But, yeah.
And I assume that the practicing is maybe it's like going on a weight loss program or, you know, bodybuilding, whatever it is, that, you know, we're not going to change our body style in, you know, in 2 days. I mean, we have to take
right.
very little baby steps.
I think that's really a key. I think trying to change too much, even when you're really willing and you really want to change, you know, change doesn't happen overnight. Not sustainable, long-lasting, transformative change. It does take time. And starting with, I mean, one thing, like changing one thing at a time, or maybe two, and then really practicing that until it becomes a habit, till it becomes automatic, where you don't have to think about it anymore. Like, you may come in and throw things down on the dining room table, let's say, and your dining room table is always cluttered with stuff and the family never gets to sit down and eat dinner, for instance. So now you want to change that. You want the dining table to be an area where the family can come together and eat meals, which is what it's for, and will strengthen your family and all of the good things that will come of that. So how do you change from that coming in the door and throwing things down and actually shifting to a whole new way? And it's finding homes for things, like where things go, and actually putting them away and taking that effort to do it. And in the beginning, it's hard, but eventually you do it enough times and you'll just, as you came in and automatically threw it on the dining room table, you will automatically come in and hang it up where you decided to hang it up, or put it away where you decided to put it away. And then it's automatic. You're not thinking about it anymore. You're just doing it. And so that's the goal of changing. And so you can't do too many of those at once, maybe one or two. And then once you've got that down, then you add another one or two things. And I think, like with weight loss, it's like, you know, I want this to be quick. I want to lose, you know, 15 pounds by next week. And that never happens. And it's unrealistic or unhealthy, maybe. So it's the same with organizing and just taking your time to allow yourself room to change and to do things differently.
Let's take a call from Georgia, listening in Minneapolis, because I think it sort of relates to maybe us in terms of our changing habits. Some of us have some obstacles to organization. Georgia, go ahead. You're on with Jody Watson. Go ahead with your question.
Yes, I was just wondering if it's possible with a person with ADD or Asperger's who has this obstacle to be able to actually get organized.
Help
encourage them.
Georgia, that's a great question. And yes, it is, absolutely. It may be harder. It may take longer, and it may be more effort. There are lots and lots of resources for people with ADHD, ADD, all of those attention deficit situations where actually you're really – you know, having a hard time, you know, focusing and putting things where they're supposed to go. But even more so that in those situations, structure is important. It's almost like more important, because when you have a condition like that, life can become very chaotic very quickly. And just by bringing some boundaries and some small things into your life to help you can really go a long way to a lot of success. Like, for example, again, creating the habit of, like, when I finished something, I put it away and I have a home for it. Or I put my briefcase by the front door every night so that it's there in the morning so that I'm not forgetting it. Or even posting a note and saying, you know, don't forget lunch or whatever it is, keys, iPhone, whatever it is, to yourself. And getting into those routines, doing the same thing at the same times, on the same days can really, really go a long way to helping bring some structure into a life that is not going to have its own structure. So you're imposing it on it, and again, in little ways, and starting here, and then, okay, that's working, and then you're doing the next thing.
Jody, it made me think, I know your mom, I'm interested if you've been able to communicate some of these principles to your son, and you know, what advice you would have for parents trying to help their kids to learn to find a home for things.
Yeah, you know, kids need structure, really, and they really flourish in structure, knowing what to expect and what's expected of them. And so I think sometimes the difficulty with children and organizing children is the fact that the parents aren't organized. And so a child, it's hard for a child to learn something that is not being taught and is not being demonstrated in the home. So I think it always starts with the parent first, sort of put your own oxygen mask on first and learn how to do it. And setting up systems for your child to succeed. You know, my son does have ADHD, and it is a constant. Papers do go missing from school. They get written, but they don't quite make it to the teacher. And you're like, what happened? You know, between here and school, it was in your backpack. I don't understand. So really sort of supporting them on a daily basis and being with them and helping them, showing them how to do it, I think, rather than it's easy for us to sort of go in and think we're going to do this for our kids to help them, whereas actually, and it takes more time to go in and actually help them learn how to do it for themselves. And, you know, in this, our lives are busy and rushed, and so it just seems easier to just, no, I'm just going to do it for them. That way I know, you know, and I had to really pull myself back from that because I can be very efficient and I can do it so that it's all good. And I'm like, I can't do that. I have to let him learn how to do it. I have to teach him how, and he's going to learn by his mistakes, and he's not, everything isn't always going to be where it needs to be. But for the most part, setting up his world to be as organized as it can possibly be, to support him and to help him in that.
We'll get more good advice from Jody Watson in a moment. We do have some copies of the book that we're going to give away, and we do have some time for some more questions. So if you have something in mind that you'd like to ask Jody, join us right now at 877-933-2484. That's 877-933-2484. We're talking with Jody Watson today. She's author of the book Purge with Passion, Organizing Principles from a Christian Perspective. Jody is the founder and president of Supreme Organization. We're getting some great advice today. You can find out more about her writings and speaking, and even if you're interested in taking some online classes, studying the Bible and other opportunities there, you can go to her website, purgewithpassion.com. That's purgewithpassion.com. In a moment, we'll talk about our stuff and maybe get a theological perspective on stuff and material possessions. Maybe we need to deal with that first before we try and figure out where it all belongs. More on that with Jody Watson coming up, and we'll take your questions as well. It's 47 past the hour. Jody Watson joining us today. She's founder and president of Supreme Organization and author of Purge with Passion, Organizing Principles from a Christian Perspective. And she has regular TV appearances as well as national publications. And we're honored to have her back with us here on Connecting Faith to talk about you know, importance of organizing and, more importantly, about some of the theology and principles, the reasons why. And does God care about our clutter and moving, helping him advance his kingdom causes? So, you know, probably, Jody, the reality is that most of us probably have too much stuff to start with, which is maybe, you know, part of the problem. Let's talk about maybe a theology of stuff.
Yeah, I think we really do. I think all of us do have, I mean, I try and purge really regularly, and I still think I have too much stuff. I think in the Western world, I don't even think we understand what to have little really means. you know, but the stuff in and of itself isn't really what is the issue. I mean, it's an issue, but it's not the issue. When I go into a client space, the number one thing they complain about is the fact that they have too much stuff. And they think that once we streamline and it's organized and everything's got a home, that the problem is going to go away. Because we think that the stuff is what's the problem, but it's not what it is. It's never really about the stuff. The main problem is always our relationship to the stuff. You know, we have a tendency to place way too much importance on the things of this world. And there are hundreds of scriptures that are devoted to the misuse of wealth and possessions. And we tend to make things idols in our lives and give them more importance than God. Really, that it comes down to that we're actually, you know, cannot let go of stuff. Even if it means that we can be more effective for the Lord, you know, the example of that in the book of Mark, in Mark 10, with the man that you know, his stuff had him in bondage, and you know, Jesus could see that this man was struggling with his relationship to his stuff, and that he was unwilling to let go of it in order to really follow Christ. So, ultimately, you know, his desire to maintain that relationship with his stuff was more important to him than his desire to fully commit to a relationship with Christ. So, you know, we need to ask ourselves, like, how important is stuff to us? I mean, if Jesus really were asking you to, could you up and leave all your stuff? You know, would that bother you? I mean, for some of us, it's like, you know, yeah, I guess I could. And it seems easier than I think, yeah, I could do that. Stuff's not that important to me. But actually, in actual fact, that would be very, very hard. But for some of us, it would be like panic mode to have to leave all of their stuff because of their attachment to it is so great. And so, you know, I don't think it's by accident that there are so many scriptures devoted to that in the Bible. I think God is seriously trying to convey to us the importance and how, you know, in our human, in our fallen, sinful nature, that we are going to place more importance on stuff than we should. So yes, it's about the stuff, the amount of stuff, but really, because if you're not attached to it, you can let go of things very easily. I see the varying degrees of ability to let go when I'm working with different clients. For some, it's just a lot easier, and others struggle with the seemingly insignificant things that just matter so much, and maybe taking up space and time and finances to keep that could definitely be better used. And so it comes back to an issue of the heart. I mean, it really does, and what our relationship is to our things.
By the way, in the book Purged with Passion, Jody, in the chapters, whether it's talking about stuff or finances or time or, you know, purging your information, that there is a good mix not only of theology but also then some practical tips. And so you'll find it a great balance, and you can find out more about it online at purgewithpassion.com, or you can give us a call and sign up for one of the copies of the book. And we want to take Matthew's call. He has a question, I think, for husbands. So, Matthew, you're on with Jody Watson. Go ahead.
Hi. I just had a quick question. It's kind of one practical thing I can go home today and help my wife with some of that organization kind of stuff.
Wow, that's great, Mark, that you, Matthew, that you're actually, you know, wanting to help her. I think that's awesome. You know, I can't say what that is necessarily for your wife, like what is where she could use your help. But I think you can go and ask her that you want to help her. Does she have a challenge with organization, would you say? Or is it just that you're wanting to be helpful? Like, what's the situation?
Well, we got 3 kids under 5. So I think that's probably the biggest challenge right now is just it's chaotic a little bit. I think before kids, it wasn't an issue. It's just more now with so many, you know, with kids and trying to kind of keep all that.
Understandable, no doubt.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, kids can derail, you know, even the best laid organization in a home. But, you know, there are so many different ways to help. I really would ask your wife and just say, I want to help you. This is overwhelming. And there must be things I can do to help and find out what it is for her. Because, you know, you may think it's you know, well, if I just organize the kids' room, then it'll be fine. She may be like, oh, can you just help me to have a day, take the kids out so that I can have a day to actually straighten up. I mean, there are so many varied ways to help and different places on which to come in. I would ask her. Is she open to sort of bringing more organization into the home, or is that really coming from you?
No, I think she's totally open. I think it's just more,
right.
You know, sort of the team kind of stuff that gets,
right.
You know, maybe you were just on a different wavelength maybe or something.
Okay. And which, Jody, I assume is probably not uncommon, right, that the being on a different wavelength is fairly typical in when it comes to organization.
It does. I mean, you know, there's two sort of spectrums. You know, there's the very uber organized sort of up there, everything's got to be like perfect person, and then there's the totally overwhelmed hoarding situation. So, and between that, you've got a myriad of different personalities and different, you know, places where people are in terms of organization. Some are naturally organized, some aren't. And usually, not usually, but a lot of times, I mean, I do work with husbands and wives, and one is extremely organized or desires to be, to have life be very organized, and the other, just that isn't as important to them. And so, you know, I think it's only to the point of, you know, is the disorganization getting in the way of doing what God has called you here to do? Is the disorganization getting in the way of living life and functioning to on a you know, relatively efficient and effective level? Is the disorganization in the home or in your life affecting somebody else negatively? Does it bother anybody else? Because it's not about having a perfect home at all. You know, that two people, you know, a husband and wife come together and are working together, like you guys, you said, Matthew, you know, you were a team, which is, that's great, is that you're coming together and you're working on this. This is something that you're doing and you're placing it, you know, before God and saying, okay, God, what can we do to make this function better and to work better, rather than, you know, attacking each other, which is what I see a lot, you know, in couples where one just wants their way and the other one, you know, wants it their way, and it gets very hard, and God isn't at the center. And I think when God is at the center and you're both striving towards bringing God's order into your lives and your home, then things flow out from there, and order just starts to come. It may not be that the sippy cups are always put away,
yeah.
You know, or the clothes are always picked up or that kind of, I think it's really important to stress this, that it's not about having a perfectly organized home is going to make, you know, your relationship with, you know, that means you're a great Christian or anything, because it doesn't. So the fact that you guys are a team, and you're both working on this and you want to help her is great. So I would ask her, what would help her specifically? What would be the number one thing that you could do that would help her? And I think she'd really appreciate that.
Jody, we only have about 60 seconds left. I want to maybe, I don't know if in 30 seconds you can sort of summarize for us, give us a little vision of what sort of living free from clutter or being more organized would look like and how it could impact God's kingdom advance.
Well, I think when we are able to place God in his rightful position, at the center of our worlds and take all the other things and make them second, third, fourth place. It's boundless, really, what God can do with our resources. Imagine your finances are put, you know, in order the way God would have you order them, then at that point you're really ready for a financial makeover of your life, because he's just going to do amazing things with them. When you submit your stuff to him, he's going to do amazing things with that. You may have less of it, but you'll be doing more with it, with what you have. And I just think that we always have to be thinking on the eternal consequence of things and not just looking at, you know, is my life comfortable today? Do I have what I want? Am I okay? But, you know, am I using the things that God has given me and being a good steward of the things that he has entrusted to me while I'm here on this planet?
Good words from Jody Watson, by the way. She'll do a little drawing, too, if you contact her at purgewithpassion.com to give away a copy of the book. So if you're one of the first 25 to connect with her there, do that, purgewithpassion.com. And Jody Watson is the founder and the president of Supreme Organization with us today on Connecting Faith.